You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday morning to you. Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. On your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning. Welcome to the Tribal Combat Operations Center. Place from which our tribe wages war against jackasses, liars, and other general clown-type behavior. So, good morning to you. I've been listening to Viktor Frankl. Man's Search for Meaning. Yeah, old Mac in the deep end of the pool. I've never really listened to an audiobook in my life. I've always got books. So it takes a little I found I have to learn how to listen. Yeah, just can't put it on the background. You get nothing from it. So it made me think that the audiobooks are kind of made for, what, commuters? Walkers? Where you have the time to, you have the time to focus on it, right? While you're driving, you can kind of get lost in the words as you drive. And it's probably a good utilization of the audiobook. doing something where you're distracted, I think, is not so good. But I would recommend it to you, Viktor Frankl. And what he discusses in the book is his experience. I'll tell you when he was born. He becomes a doctor, psychiatrist prior to give me a second. Viktor Emil Frankl, born 26 March 2005, and he died on September 2nd, 1997, was an Austrian neurologist and psychiatrist, as well as a Holocaust survivor. Frankl was the founder of logotherapy, which is a form of existential analysis, the third Viennese school of psychotherapy. Freud being the first, Adler being the second. Yeah, I recall that from the book. His best-selling book, Man's Search for Meaning, was published under a different name in 1959. The initial title was From Death Camp to Existentialism. And then in German, it was published under still and yet a different name. Nevertheless, Say Yes to Life, a Psychologist Experiences the Concentration Camp. And the book chronicles his experience as a concentration camp inmate, which leads him to discover the importance of finding meaning in all forms of existence, even the most brutal ones, and thus a reason to continue to live. So the conditions which he discusses in the book are, honestly, are kind of mind-blowing. And how fate takes its hand in his life. Decisions that he made, you know, turn out, like, right before he's liberated, they're loading up a truck of inmates, and they're supposedly going to Switzerland to be traded for German prisoners. So his friends, you know, they get left out. He and another doctor are left at the camp that they were at. And later, they see pictures of the inmates that got on that truck. Friends of theirs, right? They'd worked with them and been together for, in some cases, years. Were taken to another camp where they were put into a barracks and locked in there, and then the barracks was set on fire. And so, and there's incident after incident like that in his, as I guess must have been the case for most survivors of the German death camp experience. So, I mean, every day was, if you weren't capable of work, if you were limping, if somebody didn't like the way you limped or whatever, you were going to go in that barracks, and that barracks meant you were going to die. And so you had to be healthy, you had to look healthy, you had to appear healthy. At one point, a doctor tells him, you need to shave every day. It makes you look younger. And when you shave your cheeks, okay, not just the lower part of your cheeks with hair follicles, but shave high into your cheekbones, because that will keep your cheeks red, and it will make you look young and young and vibrant, capable of work. That will save your life. So he recounts all these things that are honestly, you know, you sit there and listen, and it's like, it's hard to believe that somebody lived this existence. And then as a doctor, no less. So Frankl is born in 1905. So, I think he's interred in 1942. So that means he's 42. He's 37 years old. He's a man in the prime of his life. And so he stays there until 1945. So he endures that for 3 years of his life. But the book came, you know, comes to my attention from a discussion recently with Josh Goldberg of he of Boulder Crest Retreats, and the subject of Admiral Stockdale's leadership at the Hanoi Hilton came up, and Viktor Frankl's discussion of man's search for meaning in life. And at one point in the book, he talks about the joy that he felt while thinking of his wife, who he would never see again, who was someplace in the camp on the day of her birthday. And while he was working, you know, visions of her, visions of them talking. And so he talks about how even in the most miserable of conditions, you can find meaning and you can find a reason to live. It's a very interesting book. And so it goes to, it speaks to post-traumatic stress disorder, speaks to suicide. One of Frankl's techniques was to ask somebody who was struggling, why don't you kill yourself? Why haven't you killed yourself? And in the answer to that question, he would find the key to them as a person, what made them go. So I would recommend it to you. I've enjoyed it. I had to learn how to listen to it. And, cause like my thought was I'll put it on while I'm working. Well, you can do that, but you have to pay attention or else why ingest the book? So, yeah, so I think driving or walking is a better form to listen to it, or because you're not as distracted. Driving's kind of an automatic behavior for most people that have driven for a while, and so you're driving, your brain's empty, and you listen to audiobooks. I'd be curious about other people's experience with audiobooks. Do you find the same thing? So this is my first experiment with it. Struggle Well, which is the book that Ken Falk and Josh Goldberg wrote, is also out in audiobook form. So I would tell you that probably not a bad thing to find and listen to. The other thing I like about it is I'll listen to the same chapter twice, and it doesn't seem as, I don't know, maybe there's this onerous pressure I feel to finish the book, to get to the best parts of the book. I got this yesterday, but I didn't see it. Good morning, Mac. Wish me luck. I'm about to embark on a shit show. I have to renew my driver's license at 09. I'm so looking forward to this. Be well, Vacaville man. So he's headed to the California DMV. My cousin, Patty, just went. She spent 3 hours at the DMV. I said, don't even talk to me. Don't even go there. I was there for 6 hours. That's right, 6 hours. She said, you were not. I said, I swear to God. And it was not like it was out of the ordinary. How can they be content to run that kind of a system? I'm not exactly sure. Florence, hurricane type, has been downgraded to a Category 2 hurricane. Now, Florence is getting an awful lot of news coverage for a Category 2 hurricane. And again, my instinct watching these things is it's going to dissipate even further. Winds less than 20 miles an hour in Jacksonville, North Carolina right now. So we will keep our eye on it. So everybody at Camp Lejeune, what's up? Jacksonville, 15 miles an hour Wilmington, 18 miles an hour. Expected to hit the East Coast tomorrow morning. So anyway, keep everybody in our thoughts and prayers. Hope that all works out for the better and continues to dissipate as it heads towards land. United States Marine Corps boat. Let me tell you what we're doing today. Chris Woodbridge from the Marine Corps Gazette is going to join us, so we'll talk to Woody. Haven't talked to him in a couple months, so we'll do that. And then the Gunner's going to join us. The first time ever he joins us on Skype. Yeah, going to do big voice on Skype. Yeah, the audio is much better. So that's what we're doing today. If you didn't listen or only caught part of the interview with John Ripley, put it on your list of things to listen to. Yesterday, had on from the Marine Corps Historical Division, retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel, infantry officer type of a guy. His name is, and working on his PhD, like all infantry people do. I didn't even put his name in the title. That's not right. Ed Nevglosky. I screwed that name up. And he says, Nevglosky. I look at it and see all his consonants. It screws me. It does something to my head. Anyway. So we took it a look at John Ripley and his career, and focusing primarily on the incident at Dong Ha during the Easter Offensive, and how he did what he did. So it's very, very interesting. The other piece of that I find that I think is really interesting is the eulogy that his son gave at his funeral, his son Thomas Ripley, and it's great. It's humorous. It's serious. Talks about things that, you know, that the rest of us didn't know. The funnier things in there are, there was only two places on the Ripley train, either on it or under it. That made me laugh. And the other thing he talks about is the Marine Corps saved, in his latter years, the Marine Corps saved his life twice. One by sending an airplane to get an organ that he desperately needed, and delivering that post-haste. And then the second one was after the transplant, he was struggling to recover, and the Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Jones, sent the Marine Corps colors, the battle colors with all the streamers, to his room at the hospital and says, "These colors don't leave until you do." And Tom Ripley said, and they did together. So it's a very, very interesting interview. It starts out with that. And then, Ed Nevglosky from the Marine Corps Historical Division, who was also a personal, who grew up with him. Ed's father was was in the first Marine gunner class. And so he grew up knowing the Ripley family, and so he had kind of a unique perspective on it. So very, very interesting to talk about. Let me tell you, it's a long interview. It's like 3 hours. I looked up. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But, you know, anyway, for me to talk about these things, it's what I most enjoy in life. And there's things about that interview that I love, and, you know, that are quintessentially Marines, and that is the colors going to his room, right? Who does that kind of stuff? I can tell you who does. One organization seems to consistently do stuff like that, and it's the Marine Corps. There's this intensity and this passion and an edge that goes with the Marine Corps that has always attracted me to it. Yeah. Get out of the way. It's that kind of stuff. And we don't have any problem with it. What do you mean? I said, get out of the way. and you go by. So anyway, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. We'll check the news coming up on a Thursday. Dedicated to the Ripley family. And John Ripley, a unique Marine in his career. And certainly his exploits that day are the stuff of legends. It was an absolute delight to learn about his life. I mean, I, like others, you know, knew generally about what he did, but I didn't know the particulars. And the particulars are pretty incredible. When you're sticking blasting caps down your throat, And you're crimping with your teeth, that's the stuff of men. That's the stuff of men. So this is dedicated to them.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine
were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
I wonder if that was scripted. Like I said, it sounds like he says the word lose. We cannot lose to win. And then he hears the word lose, and it's like, blah. Now that I think about it, script. All right, we'll check news headlines in a minute. Actually, there's a whole bunch of interesting news this morning. Currently, cloudy and 75 in Quantico. Camp Lejeune. Cloud in 82 with 8 weather advisories. So you know we gotta check that out. That's a world record, folks. 8 weather advisories. Alright, here they are. That's a lot of weather advisories. Okay, tornado watch. Storm surge warning, a hurricane warning. Okay, that means it's been spotted and it's real. Watch means it might be coming. Beach hazard statement, tropical weather statement, and a flash flood watch, in addition to a high surf advisory. So there you have it. Cloudy and 75 in Granbury, Texas. Gunner was enjoying the rain a couple days ago. Clouds in 53 up in Montana. 29 Palms continues to cool off. Sunny in 71 in beautiful 29 Palms. Kent Pendleton, California. Clouds in 57. Love that. That means we're going to be in the low 70s today. My fave. That's right. Cloudy dark 83 in Okinawa. Nothing new to report there. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where Task Force Southwest operates currently, it is clear evening and 95 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, in beautiful Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is 66 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. And they're actually, it's not clouds, it's like morning coastal overcast. So, I mean, it's not cloudy. Because, like, in about 3 hours, it's going to be clear. Where'd all the clouds go? Oh, yeah, that was that coastal thing. Come on, man. I don't know, like, who does this? Winds are out of the northeast at 1 mile an hour. Humidity is at 83%. Humidity? California? Where's that coming from? Oh, yeah, that's that morning coastal thing. Pfft, hello? All right, looking for a high of 81 today. Looking for a high of 83 tomorrow, and looking for a high of 81 on Saturday. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that's right. My phone tells me that today is going to be a high of 78, Friday 80, Saturday 78, Sunday 77, and Monday 77. So I'm not sure what zip code they're going off of. Maybe John Wayne Airport, which is a little bit further inland, thus the elevated temperatures. See how savvy I was that I seized on that? All right. Yeah, not everybody can do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. All Marine Radio continues on a Monday. Not really. On a Thursday. Not sure where that came from. More of that awesome program coming up next. News headlines and my comments, of course, next on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and self in me.
Winning email. I just saw the term post-traumatic winning. What in the hell is that? Post-traumatic winning is an all-marine radio concept. I need to do a program about post-traumatic winning. I should. I'll do a little, kind of a short. That's why I'm listening to Viktor Frankl. Because you think of trauma in the lives of people. And you know what's interesting is we talk about PTSD, right? So you talk about PTSD, and what do people think? Combat. Well, the majority of people affected by trauma didn't get it in combat. Okay? Didn't get it in combat. So when we I'll put myself back on active duty. When we as a Corps evaluate, like, what we're doing, and we're talking about PTSD. Hello, blinding flash of the obvious. Most of the people by affected trauma that are sitting in this office, that trauma comes from places other than combat. What? And does it make a difference where the trauma comes from? What? No. So, long answer, and I won't get sidetracked by it because I want to do the news today. I will do a segment on what post-traumatic winning is, but it essentially, post-traumatic winning is this path a warrior follows. Come in, you learn about mental health, you learn about you learn why you keep your honor clean. Why it's important to do the right thing, because you have to live with you for a long time. And then you should study as a professional, right? You go through your career. You should study Viktor Frankl. You should study Admiral Stockdale's leadership. And so you go through kind of, that's your military career, is occupied, in my opinion, by the study of those types of things that allows you to become a better leader. And then you get off active duty, and you're transitioning your life. And so, if necessary, you go find somebody like Boulder Crest Retreat and you learn about wellness practices. You learn how to develop them. And they allow you to live the life that you want to live. They allow you to keep your life between the left and right lateral limit. So now I'm living the life I want as I go home. But going, quote-unquote, home, and this is where we win. You can stop there, and you can coexist with your trauma. Okay, but that's not in our culture, right? And my life experience and the life experience of my friends, as we're kind of in the same phase of our lives together, is when we reach out to other people, when we share the plain spoken truth that we know about coexisting with trauma, and we begin to help others, we ease their pain, we continue to live our purpose-driven life, it comes back to us in those Grinch moments when your heart grows. That is winning. All of that is winning. So that's the concept of post-traumatic winning. Okay. So there's a few different parts, but I'm going to tell you it's real, and you can do it. Okay, but you can't suffer in silence. There you have it, Joe the Joe the canine unit, being a jackass. He knows better to bark than when we're on the air. So, anywho, this morning's headlines. Number one, Kent Lejeune preparing for Hurricane Florence. Kent Lejeune's social media comments have been hijacked by a slew of angry posts from Marines and families. Anger over the base's decision not to enact a mandatory evacuation in the face of an impending peril from the Category 4 hurricane barreling down on the Marine base. Let me just tell you, I think that by the time this thing gets land, it will be a Category 1 hurricane. And all this hoopla about it, yeah, it's Category 1, and it still has 24 hours. Category 2, and it still has 24 hours. So, anyway. So, that's going on at Camp Lejeune, and we'll keep you updated on that. Next story in Marineland is the headline in the Marine Corps Times is trailblazing female who became infantry Marine is getting kicked out for fraternization. And it's not like we didn't know this was coming. These kind of events are coming. Remedios Cruz joined the Marine Corps in 2013 as a supply clerk. 1 year later, she completed infantry training and in 2017 made history when she became one of three females to join 1-8 at Camp Lejeune. Now Cruz is awaiting separation from the Marine Corps after pleading guilty to maintaining a romantic relationship with a subordinate. Cruz, 26, eventually married the person who was a lower-ranking Marine in her unit, according to the New York Times. The biggest mistakes I've made in the infantry were from my personal relationships, Cruz told the Times. I really want to move on. Now, it's not like this wasn't forecasted, right? Love is in the air. So, now we're doing that in our infantry units. People have argued that, hey, this is the reason why we don't want to do this. Should be single-minded focus on what we do at in those units. Because there's no room for love to be in the air there. So, there you have it. Cruz was reduced in rank from sergeant to corporal and restricted to base after pleading guilty to fraternization as part of a broader plea agreement. The commanding general of the 2nd Marine Division, David J. Furness, will now decide if she will be forced out with an other than honorable discharge. So so it goes. Next story. VA undecided on whether to pay for sex reassignment surgery. Veterans Affairs officials are still evaluating whether to fund sex reassignment surgeries for transgender veterans following a months-long push from advocates seeking the department to reverse its opposition to the procedure. Last week, a group of 83 Democratic House members petitioned VA Secretary Robert Wilkie to make the change, calling the current department policy discriminatory and potentially harmful to the health of those veterans. Simply put, the VA has an obligation to provide the necessary care that is prescribed to enrolled veterans by their health care practitioners, the group said in a letter to Wilkie. It is unconscionable to deny veterans the same access to health care services that civilians receive in the private sector, and that is available to Medicare beneficiaries and federal workers simply because of outdated and unscientific prejudice against their gender identity. You know, I mean, I think there's an element of truth to that. If medical providers are saying this is what this person needs, and they are covered under the VA healthcare, who is the VA to say, so take transgender out of it. Why is that an issue? if a legitimate physician designates a legitimate medical procedure, what business is it of the VA? Because we're not talking about people on active duty, blah, 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 blah. What business is the VA to then turn around and say, yeah, we're not doing that? On some kind of moral ground? Yeah, I don't, again, Mac the liberal. I don't think that's right. So, I won't pass judgment on gender reassignment, right? Some people have gender dysphoria. And that is a legitimately recognized mental health issue with now a surgical remedy. Why does the VA say no? And what is the basis of them saying no? If all of that is legitimate, I'm not sure. Next headline, Marine Corps is quietly monitoring sections of the U.S.-Mexico border to stop migrants and drug traffickers. Again, this is from Business Insider. And Business Insider, who wrote this? Guy named Chris Jones. All right. Now, the military's been used on the border off and on for a long time. All right, for over a decade, Marine ground sensor platoons have quietly deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border to train for combat operations abroad, and their training has real-world consequences for those crossing the border. President Trump's crackdown on illegal immigration is quietly supported by the Marine Corps ground sensor platoons that surveil wide sections of the border. These missions are ideal for ground sensor platoons, which are made up of small 3 to 4 man teams who stealthily advance ahead of the main troops to track enemy movements in a deadly game of cat and mouse. I don't think that's how they do it anymore, but okay. I mean, the sensors are normally delivered by air. I guess they can be hand jammed. In that case, it would be a fact that they precede somebody, or maybe not precede, but they move into an area that we don't rightly occupy, and that's why we're using sensors. Along the U.S.-Mexico border, small teams of Marines are using a suite of advanced sensors and remote monitors to assist the U.S. Border Patrol in scanning the most vulnerable sections of the untamed border. These Marines belong to specialized units called ground sensor platoons, and for over a decade have been quietly partnering with U.S. Border Patrol to help agents catch drug traffickers and migrants who cross illegally into the United States from Central and South America. Despite being infantry Marines, the weapons of choice for ground sensor platoons aren't bullets. Tactical Remote Sensor System, TRSS, is a suite of sensors, cameras, retransmission devices, and monitoring equipment that are used to track enemy movement. The sensors are sensitive enough to detect how many people may be walking nearby, what direction they're traveling, and can even differentiate between types of vehicles. Some of the sensors are equipped with day and night imaging capabilities, allowing Marines to identify the exact nature of their target. And like most equipment fielded by the Marine Corps, the system can take a beating. So, that in the news today. Business Insider does some pretty interesting stuff. Top five stories in Early Bird today. Number one, the military versus Hurricane Florence, why some troops are looking the storm right in the eye. And there's a discussion about evacuations. My prediction is this will be downgraded at some point today to a Category 1 hurricane, and that will be that. Number two, Air Force Chief lays out future fight against near-peer adversaries, so the whole concept of near-peer war, and the U.S. use of air, sea, land, space, and cyberspace. I would not throw cyberspace at the end of that, okay? Because if you control cyberspace, you control the fight in the air, the sea, and the land. and space as well. Cyberspace, pretty important. Number three, Air Force Navy team up to find a route for hypoxia and other issues plaguing pilots. Yeah, that is a bit of a mystery, what's going on there. So, anyway, pilots struggling with oxygen deprivation, yada, yada, yada. Number four, VA undecided as to whether to pay for sex reassignment surgery. We already talked about that. And listen to this. Nation Stop Marine invokes World War II when talking Afghanistan time commitment. Quote, we're still in Germany, we're still in Japan. So, Neller is listening to All Marine Radio, he's listening to the shit I say, and he's still, to this day, stealing my stuff. That's right. Neller invoked the long-term U.S. commitment to in Germany and Japan after World War II to describe when Americans might expect the U.S. military assets to leave Afghanistan, the longest war in American history for good. Quote, after a long war, World War II, we're still in Japan and we're still in Germany. This Afghanistan has turned out different than we thought. Neller's comments came after a speech at the monthly San Diego Military Advisory Council breakfast, which attracts military and defense industry leaders from across the region. Neller's speech focused on the current mission of the Marine Corps and the challenges it faces in the future. So, stealing my stuff. Quote, it would be easy to say we should just walk away, Neller said, but I think the consequences of that may be worse than what's going on now. Neller pointed to the upcoming elections and negotiations with the Taliban as a sign of progress. I think the Afghan people are tired of war. He said, noting that the country has been engaged in one conflict or another since the 1980s. Every war has to end. I think they're at an opportunity point here. So let's ask for everybody to be a bit more patient and play this out and see what happens. Neller, knocking off my material here. Come on. At least footnote it. Yeah, Mac on All Marine Radio, he says this all the time. Another headline. VA establishes a new research center focused on caregivers. Veterans Affairs officials are launching a new center of excellence focused on caregivers. A move that advocates say could significantly boost research and support for families caring for ailing veterans. Quote, we know how important caregivers are to the veteran community now, and we know they're going to be even more important in 10 or 20 years, said Steve Schwab, the executive director of the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. Now, Elizabeth Dole, a caregiver for most of her life, her husband, Bob, Senator Bob Dole, suffered loss of his right arm, and she cared for him, most of his life. So, caregivers is, it's not a small deal. It's a big deal. So, just tip of the cap to the Veterans Administration for doing that. I think it's a good thing. So, congratulations to them. Trump wants to identify election interference within 45 days. Here's how he can do it. It's from a publication called The Fifth Domain. So you got to through the intelligence community, you got to be able to attribute where this stuff came from. The process of the U.S. government takes to in attributing cyber attacks and influence campaign is not clear. The FBI, the DOD, and the intelligence community have all played a role in investigating hacks on U.S. firms in the past. Attribution should use a variety of sources taken from different agencies, and that information should be coordinated. That according to Herbert Lin, a senior research scholar at the Hoover Institute is at Stanford, but he said it was difficult to tell how well the current process is taking place because of questions regarding leadership from the White House and President Trump's attacks on the intelligence community. Current and former defense and intelligence officials have told Fifth Domain that attributing a cyber attack is not as straightforward as it appears, and that it can only be complicated by a series of factors. For example, sometimes attackers leave false trails in their code to confuse targets. So then it walks through how you do this. The president wants to do this in 45 days so that, concrete action can be taken, not years later, but within a relatively short period of time. So interesting. Another interesting story, Japanese destroyer shoots down ballistic missile off the coast of Hawaii. Hello. A Japanese Aegis destroyer, Atago, detected and shot down a short-range ballistic missile in space Tuesday in a joint test with the U.S. Navy using the SM-3 Block 1 Bravo missile, according to a release from the Missile Defense Agency. The test, which took place at Pacific Missile Range Facility at Barking Sands in Hawaii, was designed to test the installation of the capability in Atago's combat system, the release said. This successful test is a major milestone, verifying the capabilities of an upgraded Aegis BMD configuration for Japan's destroyers. This success provides confidence in the future capability for Japan to defeat the developing threats in the region. The Atago is similar in capabilities and appearance to a U.S. Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. So there you have it. Congratulations to the Japanese on that deal. Germany, take note, okay? Take note. Throw off your yoke of pacifism. Get your shit together. Trump administration, India can help the U.S. counter China. An enhanced U.S.-India relationship could help counter China's expanding military and diplomatic influence around the world, senior Pentagon and State Department officials said on Wednesday. Quote, that's something where there's no boundary or no seam to how the United States and India can conceive of items for discussion or areas of potential cooperation, said David Helvey, the principal deputy assistant secretary of defense for Asian and Pacific Security Affairs. It also points a finger at Pakistan as well. So pretty important stuff. And to illustrate that, Secretary Mattis and Secretary Pompeo both in India in the last week. There's a story I wanted to get to. I'm not probably going to be able to get to it right now, but the hypervelocity case shot, and it talks about future nation state adversaries understand our reliance on global communications for our operation. So, therefore, if they degrade our satellites, if they explode stuff that will linger in the path of our satellites, that will then impact our satellites and degrade them or put them out of commission, that's a problem for us. So an interesting story. Another story about Russia's hacks. And the subtitle is Exaggerating the Threat from Moscow. I'll read you the first paragraph because Chris Woodbridge is going to come on here in a few minutes. Given the attention accorded to Vladimir Putin's efforts to undermine the American politics, one might think that Russian intelligence has the most accomplished spooks and computer geeks in the world. That is surely not the case. Its successes in the United States surrounding the 2016 election have much more to do with American weakness, how much liberals and conservatives hate each other, than with Moscow's prowess in planning. It's an excellent guess that Putin's men had no idea that their actions would become such grand theater. You know, I said this the other day. I love when I'm right, by the way. I'm channeling my mother right there. The guy who came up with this little scheme just keeps getting more and more awards in Moscow. That dude is crushing it. But really, as I said the other day, all they did was, let's unleash the Americans against themselves. Let's throw red meat at that thing, and just we'll sit back and watch. So, interesting story. There's a website called The Cipher. There's a thing called The Cipher Brief. And there's a headline there called The Importance of the Bosphorus Protests. The Iraq city of Bosphorus has returned to relative quiet after a week of protests and sporadic violence. While some want to put a sectarian spin on the protests, the persistent issues of corruption, poor governance, and insufficient provision of services compelled residents to demonstrate. The protests likely marked the end of Prime Minister Alabadi's push for a second term, with a great deal of political maneuvering now underway. While Iran, of course, has influence, as does the U.S. to a lesser degree, the decision will be made by Iraqis still in search of capable political leadership. So, an interesting piece on what we saw in Iraq late last week. Neller, knocking off my material. And then a final story. From the Associated Press headline, Taliban say they're ready for a new round of talks with the United States. Remember, you got to kill them. You got to make it hurt. And, you know, they can have local success wherever they want to. But I will tell you this, they are dying in greater numbers. The Taliban is ready for a second round of talks with the U.S., possibly this month, which is likely to focus on prisoner exchanges, confidence-building measures, and ways to move from backdoor meetings to formal negotiations, said Taliban officials in separate interviews in recent days. Okay, now let me just, again, Taliban, big T in Pakistan, right, trying to control and call shots, right, little T in Afghanistan doing all the dying. Okay, the effort is to split them, put pressure on the government of Pakistan, right, I just talked about Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State both in India last week, the cutting off of $300 million of aid to Pakistan because they're not helping. So slowly but surely putting pressure on Pakistan. Now, how does that impact this? Good question, right? The U.S. has refused to confirm or deny such a meeting. So, interesting stuff. And those reports are, again, not emanating from the Afghan government, national government, emanating from the Pakistan. So, again, you have to make it hurt. You have to incentivize them coming to the table. And the way you do that is you kill them. And that's just a fact of the matter. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Chris Woodbridge going to join us when we return. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of Allmarine Radio coming up on Thursday, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.